Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Welcome to a new series of SAFC Unfiltered with myself, Frankie Francis, and I'm joined, as ever, by Danny Collins. However, in a little strange setup we have going on here, Danny's joining us on video link up once again. A child is expectant in his household any moment now, so he's working from home this afternoon. But I'm at the Academy of Light because I'm going to be speaking to the ladies' head coach, and that is Mel Ray here on SAFC Unfiltered. Danny will be providing Mel with a quiz as well for a new season of quiz questions. See who'll finish at the top of that particular leaderboard this season. And it was Lyndon Gooch who was crowned at the top of the league leaderboard on last season's SAFC Unfiltered leaderboard. And of course, we're hoping to bring you a host of interviews from in and around Sunderland Football Club over the course of the season. Danny, how are you doing? Are you okay this afternoon?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Frankie. Yep, obviously at home. New baby expected on the way soon, so yeah, I'm to try and relax as best as we can. And obviously, I'll say take the game in tonight, but obviously we haven't got access to the game, but keep an eye on the results.
Yes, we've had a decent start to the season, to say the least, with the Sunderland men's team. Of course, the focus is on the women's team on today's podcast, but a quick word on the Sunderland start to the season.
Yeah, I think Lee Johnson will be relatively happy with the start we've had. I think we played pretty well in the majority of the games. Unfortunate, I thought, at Burton, not to come away with at least a point. I think everyone would agree on that. But sometimes you don't get the rub of the green in football, and that wasn't the case. And on Saturday, we were perhaps a little bit below par, but we managed to get the job done. So, yeah, a pretty solid start to the season. Some fresh faces coming in. As I say, we're recording before the Blackpool game. So I'm sure one or two of these new signings will get some game time this evening. And just let's hope that this season carries on, how we've sort of got off to a good start and we build on it from here.
Yes, and I imagine we'll be speaking about everything from, you know, the games, performances, transfers in the coming weeks and months here on SAFC Unfiltered. Okay then, it's a baking hot day here at the Academy of Light, and Mel's just on her way into the room where we're recording. So let's hear from the ladies' first team coach, Mel Ray. Mel, how's it gone? How's the pre-season going? And, well, the season's imminent, isn't it?
Yeah, just round the corner. We open up on Sunday to Coventry away, so we're looking forward to that. It feels really long, the pre-season. We've had a little bit of a disruption with COVID, games getting cancelled again, but, you know, we've made the most of it. We're physically in a good shape, and we're raring to go.
Did you get any downtime yourself over the summer? Did you get away anywhere, or were you just focused on the job in hand?
I went camping for 2 nights.
How was it? Was the weather all right?
It was red hot. It
good.
Was absolutely too hot to camp in a tent. There was no shade whatsoever, but that's my little break. But yeah, it's just been non-stop football, especially when we got the news that we were going up. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of work to be done off the field and on the field, ready for this moment.
Yeah, we'll come round to that, I'm sure, in the chat. Of course, with it being a new series as well, Danny will be preparing, or has prepared, a quiz for the end. Danny, who won last season's quiz? Who was the top of the leaderboard last season?
Yeah, quite surprising. It was Lyndon Gooch, I think. He wasn't too confident, was he, when he stepped into the room? He said he'd be happy getting 1 out of 5. Stepped away with 5 out of 5, so fair play to Lyndon. A few 3 out of 5s, wasn't there? I think Aidan McGeady, Luke 09, but yeah, credit to Lyndon Gooch, took the championship.
Well, whatever happens today, Mel, you're going to be top of the league for this season already.
That's so good to know.
Right, let's get into
it. Also, also bottom as well. Also
bottom. Thanks, Danny.
I'd like to discuss yourself, if you wouldn't mind, Mel, and that's what we do here on SAFC Unfiltered, and speak about your career and how, you know, you've came to have the role you have. Just tell us about when you first started playing football, what inspired you to start playing football, and, you know, how you got involved, really.
I just started to play on the streets. There was no women's teams around where I live, just played with the lads on a bit of grass or on the cycle paths, and eventually my dad had enough, and he rang the local county FA and asked them to signpost me to the local women's team. And at the time, that was Cowgate Kestrels. So I went along, 14-year-old, signed up and started playing senior football at the age of 14. And that's where it all started.
So it started there, but how soon after that was there interest from Newcastle and Sunderland and teams like that?
There wasn't a Newcastle team at that point. So Cowgate Kestrels were the best team in the North East for women's football. We moved from club to club. We ended up being Blyth Spartan Kestrels, RTM Kestrels, East Durham Kestrels, and finally when we won the Northern Premier League, Sunderland came in and we changed the name and then we became Sunderland Ladies.
So you're very much part of the history of Sunderland Ladies, a completely different landscape in the game then to now. What's the access like now as it was to then for young girls wanting to get involved?
Oh, unbelievable difference. And sometimes I look back and go just, wow, you know, we had nothing back in the day for youngsters, you know, for young players. And now we've got an RTC, a regional talent centre for, you know, as young as under 8s, under 10s, under 12s, under 14s. There's a whole pathway underneath the ladies set up now, which is fantastic for young girls.
Yeah, and that RTC you've just touched upon, that's integral for the North East development, isn't it, going forward? Because I think I read an article from yourself and you said that was, you know, a big thing which was missing in recent years from the North East, despite the success of some of the players which have gone on to represent the country and Great Britain as well. And how important is that? You know, what's a realistic access points for someone who may be listening to this podcast to get involved with something like that?
Yeah, so at the beginning of each season, there would be trials to get into the RTC. So they're all done now, so the squads have set for the year. But, you know, there's always opportunity if you're playing against the RTC teams that, you know, you might be scouted and you might be invited to come in. But, yeah, they're really important. And, you know, I'm a coach that's got a philosophy that I'm a big believer in youth. I've always given the youngsters an opportunity. The squad that we've currently got is very, very young to be competing at this level. But, you know, if you're good enough, you're old enough. That's kind of my motto.
Yeah, and I suppose regionally as well, recent years and especially now, you're seeing real talent coming from the region. How exciting is that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great and long may it continue. You know, the North East has always been a hotbed for talent.
Do you think that is?
I've got no idea. I get asked that all the time. I think it's just the way we live and breathe football in the North East. You know, it's very much fundamental to a lot of families. Always avid football supporters in the North East as well. So, you know, hardworking people who love football and, you know, they make sure that they push themselves to get to the highest level, I suppose.
So, without skipping too far ahead of, you know, you were speaking about your past career as a player, did you always know that you wanted to coach when you were playing, or did you just always want to be around football no matter what it was, but whichever role you ended up doing?
I think as I got older, I captained Sunderland, and then towards the latter stages of my career, I went to Newcastle and ended up being captain there. I was quite a leader on the pitch, quite vocal, and that kind of probably led us into that, you know, into the coaching environment really. And that's when I kind of thought, you know, that's where I want to go. That's, you know, when I finish playing, I want to get into coaching.
You've been pretty modest there as well. You won a couple of golden boots in your time as a player as well. Do you miss that side of it though a bit?
Well, I joined in the other night playing head tennis and I just thought, you know, I've definitely retired.
Danny, do you get that feeling? Do you obviously miss it, but have you played? I played five-a-side with you as well, but is there a time when you think, well, you know, there's a reason why I'm retired?
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, you do miss it in terms of playing, but the next best thing, I think, from Mel's case is obviously being on the touchline, being able to manage the team and to coach and to work with the players day to day. Obviously, from my point of view, I've been fortunate to hang the boots up and come straight into the commentary side of it and doing the work alongside yourself on a Saturday. So you still get that, not as much of a buzz, but you feel part of the game still. But yeah, you can't beat getting the boots on and having a kick around. And as you say, whether it's on a Wednesday night on the AstroTurf, having a run around from 6 till 7. But no, it's you do miss it when you retire, let's be honest.
Yeah, but very much still involved, Mel, and right in the thick of it. And you're doing really well. And you've even coached England Academy side as well. Wasn't it under 23s at a Nordic tournament as well?
Yeah, so I've been involved quite a lot with the England age groups, which has been really fortunate, really insightful as well. Did a couple of years with Marianne Spacey, who was the under 19s. Did a couple of trips to La Manga and then got invited to work with Phil Neville with the seniors for the first two World Cup qualifiers, which was brilliant.
What did you learn from stuff like that? Do you learn from Phil, or is it working with other people constantly, you just picked up little ideas.
Yeah, just being in that kind of high performance environment. And you know, one of the big things I took away from is they don't often do something different to what you're doing back at club. It's mm-hmm. it's the same thing, so it's quite reassuring that you're on the right track and you're doing the right things. You're obviously just working with the absolute best when you go away with England.
Yeah, Mel, I was just going to ask, obviously when you finished playing and you went into the coaching and you've done your badges, have you an A licence holder, is that right at the moment? What was it like in terms of men to women ratio on your course? I mean, I'd done my B licence a couple of years ago, probably 20 of us on it. I think there was two, maybe three ladies and 17 or 18 blokes on there. Was it similar for yourself? Was it quite intimidating going in, working with these guys, or did you just plough on it and got on with it? And as I say, I think you've been... Go on.
Oh, sorry. It was quite male-dominated. There was about six females on the course. But yeah, it's yep. just... You're there as a football coach, really, and you've, I think over the years, you've just learned to be, you know, you've learned to kind of like not go, oh, I'm the only girl here or something like that, you know.
So yeah. It's,
yeah, we just crack on, and it was, you know, it was a really good course. And we've actually still got a WhatsApp group about 6-7 years later. We're still all chatting to each
That's
other,
good.
So it's a great network to have.
Good, mate. Yeah, no, I was going to say, so you joined Sunderland in 2015, is that right, as a coach there? So you're going into your sixth year at the club now in terms of coaching the ladies, working alongside, was it Carlton Fairweather, who was the gaffer when you took over?
Yeah, so I first came on board under Mick Mulhern when we got into Super League 2, and we won promotion into WSL 1, and that's when Mick stepped aside and Carlton came in. But yeah, I took over from Carlton in 2017. It's been non-stop ever since.
Yeah, it's been non-stop, Mel, and it hasn't been without drama, I guess, especially in the last couple of years. I think there's been no secret of Sunderland's fall through the league's spectacular fall. I wonder if you could bring the listeners, because there'll be a lot of people listening to this who don't really understand the women's game and what exactly happened to Sunderland. Could you just give us a brief kind of history of where we were, what happened, and where we are now? You know, I don't think you're going to get wrong with anyone, because, you know, we've got different order now and stuff like that. So if you could just tell us the facts, really.
Yeah, so we were in the Women's Super League 1, which is the highest league you can be in. We were actually played in a spring series because we were busy converting the league back to winter football. So we played a lot in the summer. So we had a fifth place finish in the spring series, and we'd done really well. And then we went into the season and we finished seventh out of 12. Fantastic season for what happened. You know, we moved out the training ground. You know, we went to train up at Bullocksteads, and we were basically isolated up there, and we made the most of it. We just got on with it, and it was a fantastic effort from all involved at that time to, you know, to pluck up a seventh place finish. Season finished, and then we got the news. Obviously, we knew that the FA wanted to try and professionalise the league,
mm-hmm.
and with that becomes a lot of license applications stuff to ensure that you've got the right things in place. And I just don't think the club had the right things in place, and because of that, we suffered a double relegation.
But was there any warning signs or anything? Were you kind of waving flags and saying, this is where it's going to go, WSL is going to go pro, we need these things in place? Or was it just kind of like having the rug taken on
yeah,
from underneath your feet?
Yeah, it was that. It was just an absolute sucker punch. We didn't find out until quite late on. We had obviously a lot of full-time professionals who were with us. So immediately all their contracts just were terminated. They had to find new clubs. And I was left without a team.
Wow.
It took a while to, you know, to come to terms with what was going to happen. And
was there a real chance that the club could have dissolved?
Potentially. I don't think it would have dissolved completely, because there always would have been players and coaches wanting to be involved, you know, because it's Sunderland Football Club, it's
yeah.
a big club. but we regrouped, kind of got together, and we had a development team at the time. And I had to just use that development team as a first team. So look, now yous are going to represent the football club. You're going to now be the first team. You're going to be playing in the tier three league, and this is how we're going to do it. We sat down, made a plan. I think there was only probably Kira Ramshaw out of the whole first team squad who was an experienced player who stayed.
Yeah, and Kira's still with the squad now as well,
isn't
she?
She is, yeah.
Wow, it's quite incredible, really, but there is there's quite a few parallels with the men's first team as well there, isn't there? Relying upon academy products and locally sourced players to hopefully propel them to the next level. So in and around the club at that time, I mean, where were you based during all this as well? Because I assume that you didn't really have a home either as well?
No, we were over at Northumberland, Northumbria University, just at Bullockstead, just next to the airport. So yeah, it was a crazy time, and it's hard to really remember, you know, because everything's...
But this is all in the backdrop as well, with so many successful alumni from Sunderland Football Club playing for England, playing for Man City, you know, playing for Team GB. But yet in the background, the football club and the region of where these players were propelled from has a situation where Sunderland found themselves in. Unbelievable, really.
Yeah, it was, you know, looking back to, you know, from where we were on that, that's the lowest low we've ever had at the football club, you know, personally. And, you know, we've overcome it, we've been resilient, and we're on the way up, you know, and that was, you know, me and Kieran sat down many times to say, look, we want to try and get the club back up. And that's, you know, we're on the right track, and that's why I'm so proud of them, what they've done. You know, that development team over the last 3 years has pushed and pushed and pushed, and, you know, we've eventually, you know, they have been rewarded with a place in the FA Women's Championship.
Yes, so if you could just elaborate on that as well. There was an application made, wasn't there? I think that was very public when the new ownership came in, and Christian and the other management people from around the club, they were very serious about the women's side. That must have been music to your ears.
Yeah. I had a really good chat with Christian, you know, and we've got a vision. We know where we want the ladies team to go, and, you know, it's all systems go. We've got to make sure we do our jobs to sustain myself in the league. And, you know, it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was going to say, so looking to the season ahead then, Mel, obviously your recruitment in the summer, bringing a few players in. Is it difficult in terms of that, of just looking at comparing the likes of Chelsea, Man City in the men's football are obviously the big spenders, big earners. Is that the similar situation you find yourselves in with a lady where in the ladies' football, where Chelsea, Man City, you know, the likes of Steph Horton have gone down there a few years ago, one or two others, Lucy Bronze, you know, Jill Scott, Beth Mead, these have all been good local players who have gone down to these bigger clubs. How does that affect you in terms of your recruitment now, finding ourselves in the second tier of the ladies' football, and your recruitment level? How does it work in terms of that for you?
Yeah, so we're never going to be able to compete with the likes of Man City, and, you know, the Super League's a different breed altogether. So they're all full time professionals, with that as their sole job. Mm-hmm. So where we're at the minute, we've got no professional players who play for us. They all have careers, mm-hmm. And then they do the football on top. So Alison Cowlin, she's a doctor. She wow. works at a local hospital, saving lives during the week, and then comes to training on a night.
Yeah. So do you train a couple of nights a week then, Mel? Is it two, three nights a week? Or
yeah, we train Tuesday, Thursday and Fridays. Play on a Sunday, maybe a Saturday, but a lot of the times we'll be travelling Saturday as well. So there's 5 days out of a week, mm-hmm. on top of a full-time job for all the squad. It's a huge commitment.
Yeah.
And something that we have to manage.
So it's basically like full-time, but you're not full-time in a way then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that has its pros, and, well, definitely more cons than pros as well, in terms of, like, you know, going through the season and players like who have doctors and teachers and stuff like that, juggling all that, and many of them have families as well. I mean, realistically, if, you know, Sunderland continue to play well and continue going through the leagues, what's that next barrier then to stop us getting to the WSL?
There's no barrier. I think it'll grow naturally. It's important that we sustain it, and it grows steadily. It can't grow too quickly because mm-hmm. we're not able to cope with that. You know, we need to be able to be sitting in this position next year where we're still in the league, and hopefully, you know, we've learned more, where we then become more experienced, and we're able to push and push and push a little bit harder and a little bit higher every time.
And I guess that helps when fans are involved as well. Season cards going on sale soon as well. I understand their part going forward as the women's game grows as well. It's going to be more and more important, and sponsorship as well. We saw you all at halftime, and we saw you all actually enjoying the game as well, near me and Danny as well. It's good, you know. I don't know if you noticed, Danny, but when the crowd were singing as well, half the girls were singing as well. I loved that, seeing that, because it just shows that, you know, how, you know, regionally based they all are and stuff like that, and how much they bought into the club. But yeah, the fans are going to play a big part, really, if the movement's going to happen in the right direction, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We've played 2 years behind closed doors, so we've not seen our fans for 2 years. So,
and in those 2 years as well, the game's grown so much as well. You know, I deal with music on a daily basis, and I'm interviewing bands that have never actually done a gig, but there might be some of the biggest bands in the country now that they've never done a gig. It's such a strange, you know, landscape we're dealing with at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. The chomp at the bit on Twitter and social media to try and get every little piece of information, because they're desperate to see, you know, they're desperate to see the players. So yeah, we can't wait to play Blackburn at home and see the fans. We seen a few who were at the Coventry game, not Coventry, Sheffield game just on Sunday. A few of them snuck in to the behind closed doors friendly. But yeah, they're all going to Coventry as well, so we should have a little away crowd.
Mel, where are your home games this year then? At Eppleton or at the stadium or the training ground, or where are they looking to play the majority of your games?
The majority of the games will be at Eppleton, and we'll play a few games at the stadium alike.
What's it like playing in the Stadium of Light as well? I understand there's big plans for some of these games coming up, which is quite exciting. But do you find that the girls step up a level when they're playing inside a stadium like that?
I'm not sure what the dimensions of the pitch are, but it just feels so much bigger.
Well, I've done a few play on the pitches there in my time, staff versus sponsors, and I tell you what, that pitch is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it just feels so much bigger. I don't think it is too much bigger, but when you're standing in the middle of it...
Yeah, I think it is. It's just having that stadium around you. I mean, you look at some of the grounds, even in the league we're in now, in terms of the men's football, with the, you know, your Shrewsbury's, your Accrington, Stanley's, even Burton last week, and they feel compact and the ground feels tight and small, doesn't it? But then, as you say, you go out there, the Stadium alight, and I think when there's no fans in there as well, you know, you've played reserve games in there or whatever, and it feels massive and it's echoey in there, but it does play on your mind. The pitch feels massive compared to what it does, as you say, compared to one of the other grounds, doesn't it? Probably a yard or two in comparison to what they actually are.
Yeah. And it's funny when there's not many in as well, you can hear every thud of the ball, every pass, you can hear that thud just echoing around the stadium. So hopefully when we are in there, we get a good turn up and there's some fans there cheering the lasses on.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be louder than it was last season for me and Danny. We were pretty much the only people in there, weren't we?
It was. You just mentioned that, and as we've touched on it on the stream, haven't we, where we're in there last year and there's perhaps 20 people, a few directors, a few scouts in there sat below us, and it's echoey. You can hear everything that's going on. But being back in there, you know, the last couple of home games, 30-odd thousand in there, much better. Makes our job easier with the atmosphere as well, doesn't it? So, good. Mel, what's your expectations for the season going ahead? Obviously, going up that level, do you put any pressure on yourself in a way, really, or just see how the team go? You've got a youngish team there, as you've mentioned, one or two experienced heads in there with Kira and one or two others. But what are you realistically looking at in terms of an aim for this season?
I've sat down with Steph, who I brought in as my new assistant coach. We've looked at the data over the last 3 or 4 years of what it takes to be a championship team and what it takes to be in the league. So we've shared that information with the players in terms of you know, how many goals each centre forward for each team would score, who would stay in the league, how many clean sheets you probably need, how many points you're going to need to survive, and they're all just averages, but it gives you a guide. And so, you know, we'll go step by step, and we're going to work in small blocks to make sure, you know, we're achieving things and celebrating the successes as well, which is really important, because we're certainly going to have some highs, but we're definitely going to have some lows at some point. But it's just important we're just steady all the way through the season, and, you know, I'm confident that, you know, we'll definitely do enough to stay up.
And the big local derby against Durham, Mel. I mean, I obviously live in Durham, so I might have to be rooting for them on that one. I'm not sure yet.
Well, I live in Durham as well, so you better watch what you're saying.
Yeah, it's odd, that one, isn't it? It's a new North East derby, if you like.
Yeah, it's strange because a lot of the Durham players are old Sunderland players. Right. So there'll definitely be a few familiar faces over there as well. So it'll be normally they're under the lights, but it's actually on a weekend. It's on a Sunday, this both games. So yeah, it'll definitely be a crowd full of that one.
I can imagine. Packed. Yeah, good for the fans. And if fans weren't able to get to the game, are the FA going to be streaming any of the coverage anywhere?
Yeah, so the FA have a website with the FA player on. So sometimes there's live streams of a showcase game each week, and I believe that we're on there a couple of times before Christmas. But all the games will be there to watch 24 hours after kickoff. So you'll be able to catch up on the 90 minutes the day after.
Excellent. Exciting stuff. Now, it wouldn't be an SAFC Unfiltered without a new quiz on the new series. And, you know, Mel, just as you're the first one to take place this season, no matter what happens, it's success all the way. So, Danny, before you're going to do the quiz, you just wanted to do some quick-fire questions at Mel as well.
Yeah, just a couple of quick-fire this or that, you know, get to know Mel and obviously future guests when we get them on, Frankie. So we'll just have a little rundown, just to 10, just to get to know Mel and see how her life is outside of football as well. So if you're ready, Mel, we'll start on this one. This is this or that. And the first one is TV quiz shows or TV talent shows, if you're watching at home.
You got a favourite?
Talent shows,
yeah. Britain's got talent for you, or what's your favourite?
Just a bit of a mix.
They've cancelled X Factor, haven't they?
Yeah.
Finally.
About time. But yeah, they're watchable back in the day, though, aren't they? They grasp you, yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay. Talent shows, yeah. Right, Chinese takeaway or fish and chips?
Oh, fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
I think I agree there, Mel, yeah.
Batter bits on the top
there.
Yeah,
lots of batter, salt and vinegar.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier, but UK holiday or a trip abroad?
Definitely a trip abroad. I've got mine booked for next year already.
Have you? Yeah. Where are you off to?
I'm off to Turkey for 2 weeks.
Brilliant. I love Turkey.
Excellent. Turkey. Oof. Toasty. Okay. Next one. Number 4. Half-time calmness or a teacup thrower? Or a bit of both?
When I was younger, it was cup of tea thrower. But now I've been told I've mellowed. I think that just comes with age and maybe a bit more experience.
You realise it doesn't get you anywhere.
So I think there's a time.
Take a deep breath, count to 10, and just relax a little bit. Yeah.
Time and a place for both, or I'll get Steph to do it.
Good cop, bad cop. Okay. Number 5, night on the tiles or night on the sofa?
Night on the sofa.
Night on the sofa.
Yeah. No. I haven't got time to call a night out.
Now and then a night on the tiles. Right. Next one, number 6. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Have you got a dog? Yeah.
Have you got one? You got a breed?
I've got a French bulldog.
Oh, nice.
Have you?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Good. Right. Number 7. A full English or avocado on toast?
Oh, full English. Crispy bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Is that because you've retired? Would you be down the old avocado on toast rolling route if you were still playing? Or
I've never ever tried avocado.
Really?
No.
Well, I'm a avocado enthusiast, I would describe myself as. So.
No, I'm with you, Mel. I've had it a couple of times, but no, I'm not feeling it.
I'm more cereal and toast, to be honest.
Cereal and toast. Marmite?
No, just butter.
Okay, straight up. All right, next one.
Next one, number 8. Go for a winner or take the point? Last 10 minutes of a game, now it's a bit cagey. Are you going for the winner, or are you just settling back and just taking the points, getting back on the coach?
Depends on the opposition.
Yeah, and where you are in the table at the time or stuff, I suppose.
Yeah. But yeah, if it's against a really top team and we're punching, then I'll take a point.
Yeah, 5 at the back, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's a winnable game and one we've targeted, then yeah, go for it.
Good. Next one, 9. Music or a podcast on the headphones? What would you go for?
Music.
Any favourite bands or anything like that? Singers?
No, anything? I like to listen to anything, really. Like a total mix from 60s all the way through to current pop.
Yeah. Good.
Just anything.
That's best way to be.
Yeah. What are we on there? Last one. Number 10. Score the winner in the FA Cup final or win the WSL League One as the Sunderland manager?
Yeah, win the WSL One.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I like that.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Team glory, yeah, not individual glory. Okay.
Just going for a legacy here.
Okay.
She's done everything. Right then, Danny. Well, back over to you. That's again. More quiz questions.
Yeah. Yeah, 5 for fun. Here we go then. Okay, so you get 3 options on these, Mel. Made it a little bit easier this season because we did have one or two who struggled a little bit last year. We won't name names.
Can if you want. Who finished bottom of the league last season then?
Well, he was on here a couple of times, wasn't he, during the season? You know, he'll be listening, so we won't name names, maybe.
Yeah, we won't mention Christian's name.
Okay, right. Question number 1, Mel. Who has scored the most Premier League goals? A, Dwight Yorke. B, Ryan Giggs. or C, Teddy Sheringham?
Oh, very close, I'd say. That, three options there, Danny. Not very, there's no
A, Dwight York, Ryan Giggs, or Teddy Sheringham, who's got the most Premier League goals?
I'm going to say Teddy.
Is correct. Teddy Sheringham, 146 for Teddy, 123 for Dwight, and 109 for Ryan Giggs.
I nearly said
okay,
Dwight.
Okay, good
well,
start. Though. Good start, Mel.
Good start. Good start.
Question number two. On a standard Monopoly board, the three yellow properties are Piccadilly, Leicester Square, and which other? Is it A, Oxford Street, B, Fleet Street, or C, Coventry Street?
Coventry Street.
Is correct, Mel. Coventry Street, 2 out of 2. I threw that
flying
in because you're obviously starting at the weekend against Coventry. So, yeah.
Look at that. No?
Question number three. Who has made the most appearances for England ladies? Is it A, Alex Scott, B, Jill Scott, or C, Karen Carney?
Jill Scott.
Jill Scott is correct, 151.
Wow,
Alex Scott, 140. Karen Carney, 144.
She would have killed us if I got that wrong.
Question number four. Which of the Kardashian sisters is the eldest? Is it A, Courtney, B, Kim, or C, Chloe?
Courtney.
Is correct. Courtney. You're Kardashians fan, obviously, then, yeah?
Well, you are, obviously.
This is for the match ball list.
I just looked it up, mate, threw it in. Yeah, Courtney's 42, Kim's 40, and Chloe is 37 at time of recording.
So there's a chance here, Danny, that Mel could get 5 out of 5, first game of the season, first pod of the season.
Yeah.
Some standard, that.
It is good going, isn't it? Yeah. Whether my questions are easy or I'm not, the only issue, know the answer, aren't they, at the end of the
exactly.
day? So, okay. Right, last one, full house, last one. Question number 5. What number sits directly opposite number 15 on a standard dartboard? Is it number 5, number 9, or number 11? Opposite number 15 on a dartboard. Number 5, number 9, or number 11?
9.
She's only going to get 5 out of 5.
Wow. Yeah.
Number 9. Number 9. Huh?
Well, what happens now for the rest of the season, Danny? The bar has been set very high.
Well, the bar's been set, and obviously, if anyone comes on and equals it, we're gonna have to get Mel back on later in the season for a tiebreaker, aren't we?
You're trying to get a TV quiz show out of this, aren't you?
Yes, but it's a great start. Great start, Mel. You know, I thought I've mixed them up there. A couple of football ones in there. You know, went off script, but fair play.
Well done,
great
Danny.
General knowledge, covered it well.
Good questions good as well. Thank you, quiz host Danny Collins there on Zoom as well. Mel, let's just end things by, you know, speaking about the season ahead as well. We've already touched upon what you think would be great for you and the girls this season and how the fans can get involved. But yeah, I mean, you know, what's your general thoughts going forward? Obviously in a lot better place than we have been recent years.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We've got a squad of 18. All settled, you know, we're fully focused on what we need to do to achieve. The staff's all sorted, you know, all focused on preparing and you know, providing that stability for the squad. And yeah, we're just really excited going into Sunday. We're pretty much going into the unknown. You know, we don't really know much about Coventry. We're very much the underdogs. No one really probably wants her to do well. So, you know, we're going to kick on and show everyone how good we are.
Exciting times. Mel, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, all the best, Mel. All the best for the season and at the weekend against Coventry.
Cheers, Danny.
So that's the first podcast done of the new series, Danny. And very exciting times for SAFC ladies after a couple of very frustrating years.
Yeah, it has been, as you could see from what Mel was saying there. She's frustrated with it, but hopefully back on track now that she feels like she's getting some backing from inside the club, getting a squad together, and she's looking forward to the start of the season. So promising times ahead, hopefully for the ladies, and let's hope they get off to a good start at the weekend at Coventry.
It was really interesting chatting with her as well, just, you know, how she was one of the first players to play for Sunderland, won the Golden Boot as well as a player, and was assistant and now manager, and you can tell it's really in her blood to get this club and the football team that she manages back to where it should be?
Yeah, I think so. Almost come round in a circle, hasn't she, in terms of, as you mentioned, from playing in the early days where ladies football was, as she pretty much said, unheard of in the Northeast especially, and where it's at now. I think it's, you know, increased in terms of its stature over the last few years. And yeah, promising signs ahead. They've gone up a division this season. Interesting to see how they go. But yeah, you wish them a successful season, and it'd be great for Mel if she can take them back up to the top flight.
Of course, you can follow how the ladies get on and all the content from both sides, the senior sides, that is, at safc.com throughout this season. So do keep your eyes peeled on Sunderland's social media pages as well for all the content this season. And of course, stick with us here and subscribe to SAFC Unfiltered for our brand new series. We'll be bringing you more chats and interviews very soon right here.